Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get to today's podcast. If you could please take 1 minute out of your day to rate and review the podcast, and of course, please subscribe. It would mean a lot. As always, we really appreciate the ongoing support from all of you and the great feedback we are getting. I hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. Cheers. It is a beautiful Monday morning.
Absolutely sensational.
I like him. He's aggressive. He gets in there.
But I do have one more point about Liverpool, though.
Honestly.
Absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Plazenac. Oh, geez.
An absolute beautiful goal.
Welcome to the Trademate Sports Podcast. G'day everyone, welcome to episode 35 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast. Got another preview here of game week 38, the penultimate game week of the EPL, and bloody hell, it is an exciting one. As always, or for the second time maybe, joined by both George Gamble and Haru. We'll say g'day to George first. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well. First thing in the morning here in the UK, and it's a good one, so looking forward to this one. Yeah, it's always exciting when it's, on the weekend of the final day. It's always a good weekend of football, so I'm looking forward to previewing this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Haru, mate, you still awake?
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the world, but I'll be going to sleep after this. So it's the opposite time of day for me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're working hard to get some content out there for you guys, so you better be appreciative. But anyway, we'll move on. Football quiz question of the week to get us kick-started. Haru, I don't know how good you'll be at this one, but it's what's been the top four for the two previous seasons, and if just to make it a bit more challenging, we'll try and put them in order too. So for the 17-18 season, what was the top four there? And the 18-19 season, what was the top four there? And as I said, an order would be nice, fellas. An order would be nice. I did get this one myself, I will say. Just to share.
Well, I know Leicester had a bit of a run, so I'm just gonna guess that the 2017 year was the year that they came out on top. But I could be wrong. It might be the year before.
Who are you guessing? Sorry,
Leicester.
Leicester. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
that's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything. I was like, I'm gonna leave that one. Yeah.
So, what was it? Was it the year before or the?
It's
2015.
That's the one.
Time's flying. All right, so let's just guess. I mean, I know Tottenham made Champions League last year, and I follow them a lot. So I'm gonna throw them in the mix for last year. They were in the top four, maybe finished fourth.
I don't know if you know the format of the podcast, mate. Will we reveal the answer at the end?
Oh, okay. Okay.
It really
so
is
I
late,
just,
isn't it?
I just gotta keep mental note of it, and then we answer at the end. That's right.
Yeah. You just focus on the markets for now, mate.
Yeah.
just a general question to kick things off, fellas. Since it is the last game week, is it for you, Haru, is it any different to how you would approach a normal game week, considering there are games like just off the top, like Burnley versus Brighton, where there's basically nothing to play for?
No, I mean, I'm not really interested to get in positions, especially like when season's reaching its end. There's just so many spots where like I can get so much money down on very valuable information that usually gets factored in late on lineups and things like that. Certain players are being ruled out, or like the entire top stars of a team are gone. Like, you could just find so much value there. For me, it's not really beneficial or rewarding to speculate on positions this early, especially if there's no real movement to follow in the market.
Yeah, and you, George?
I'd kind of approaching it as you sort of said, you know, motivation is key really in terms of these kind of games. And whilst there are teams with still a lot to play for, you know, there's quite a lot of teams that haven't really got anything to play for. You know, the season's kind of over. It's just sort of, you know, completing the season. So for games, for example, like Burnley Brighton, I'd be looking probably more at, you know, considering they're two teams that don't get many cards anyway, from a cards perspective, this is obviously, I'd be looking at to see what the line is and potentially go on the unders. Because I think it's a case of just getting to the end. You know, like I said, the season's done really for both teams. And so there's not going to be too much ferocity. There's going to be no kind of end-to-end stuff, someone pushing to get a result. there's going to be none of that, so there might not even be any intensity. Obviously, you know, every game's different, so you could be wrong. They might decide they want to end on a high, but because you don't know that, it's you're better off kind of leaving it, really. But it depends what the line is. If the line's still set relatively high, so, for example, if Burnley Brighton was at 3.5 cards, then I'd be looking to play the unders on that one. Yeah. And it'd be kind of the same for most of the other games where both teams haven't really got anything to play for.
All right, cool. So the way we'll structure it today is we'll go through the six games where there is something to play for on Sunday. So we've got Leicester United, Chelsea Wolves, Palace Spurs, Arsenal Watford, West Ham Villa, and Everton Bournemouth. And yeah, we'll just skip out the other four games just because, yeah, there isn't much to play for and it can be quite unpredictable. But as George said, maybe be looking at in the cards markets and yeah, have a look at his card spreadsheets when he puts it out on Twitter and see if there might be a play there on the overs or the unders, sorry, as George said. But fellas, we'll start with Leicester United. Both teams here playing for a Champions League spot. I'll run through the odds quickly. So you got 3.4 for Leicester, 3.64 the draw, and 2.34 for Manchester United to win. They're the best odds I could find on each of those markets. George, mate, anything interesting here stats-wise or cards-wise?
Well, the only thing I've noticed is since, you know, return of football in lockdown, particularly Manchester United games, the unders on the card lines is usually always hit. I think apart from their last game, you know, when they picked up three home cards, which is the first time they've picked any amount of cards in terms of that number since lockdown started, it's usually been one maximum. And given Leicester, you know, they're the second best disciplined side in the league, only beaten by Liverpool in that one. But given what's at stake, I'd be potentially tempted by a most cards market, I think. Thing is, both teams, I think, with a draw, obviously a draw would suit them, so again it's hard to tell because there's so many different factors that come into play with cards, and given the unpredictability, I quite like a most cards bet potentially with United for this one, just because of Leicester's, you know, home record in terms of cards, obviously Manchester United being away, but then like I said, you've got a factor in the fact that a draw suits both teams really. So
well, it definitely suits United, doesn't it? Because if they get the draw, then they're definitely in. Whereas if City get the draw and Chelsea win, then it doesn't really suit them at all. So, I had a looking at this personally, I thought maybe, I mean, Leicester are not very informed at the moment. United have been a bit slow the last week, I would say.
Yeah,
I would say mostly down to Solskjaer just playing the same lineup every time. His players are exhausted, I would assume. Like players like Fernandez and Rashford and all them.
I'd agree with you on that. I mean, if it was me personally, I don't think I'd be, although it's a game of interest in terms of there's both teams have something to play for, and there's nothing kind of assuredly, there's too many different factors in play for me to be like, right, this is a bet that I'm quite sure of and this is what I'd go on. There's too many different factors for me. It's going to be an interesting one to watch, but again, you know, Leicester, they usually don't pick up hardly, well, they pick up hardly any cards at home usually, but with Manchester United coming in, with it being the final game of the season, with there still a lot riding on it, that could change, but so it could go completely against the stats. So I think this one would be a viewing one for me. There might have been in play selection possibly, but yeah, I'd kind of want to see how things are panning out elsewhere for them really.
Yeah, well, it's definitely probably the game of the round. It's very, very exciting that you've got down to the end of the, you know, EPL season.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You've gotten a situation where you've got two teams, winner takes all kind of situation. Haru, mate, markets-wise, what are you seeing?
Just a tiny bit of some support on Leicester. On Leicester when it first opened up at the exchanges. But because both teams have something to play for, I feel like there's going to be a lot less volatility in the line because the teams are going to come out with their strongest rosters to probably play this game. So it's not really not going to really see volatility in the line. And I think that the pricing that's both set on the total and also the goal lines for both teams is pretty efficient. There hasn't been any like hard hitting since the release of the line. I know Pinnacle came out a few hours ago, maybe like 12 to 24 hours ago on all these EPL matches. And we on this match particularly, we haven't seen any type of sharp movement so far. So as of how it stands right now, there's nothing really I'm looking at to play on this match.
So you're saying there's more likely to be volatility come maybe a couple of hours before kickoff or when the lineups come out, like in a game maybe like Palace Spurs or Arsenal Watford, where only like one team has something to play for.
Yeah, exactly. Even like a Norwich Manchester, like you really don't know like what you're gonna get. Like not all the variables are exposed. Whereas opposed to a game like, you know, this Manchester United matchup against Leicester, you're not gonna really get too much volatility because a lot more variables are already plugged into play.
Yeah, yeah, that makes complete sense, mate. Do you have any idea where you think the money will go?
I mean, to be honest with you, because both teams are going to play, we have a low projected total. I mean, that's usually correlated with the double chance. So, I mean, it's hard to say that any money, especially the way that Man United has been playing, that they'd get any support here after their performance against West Ham.
Okay. All right. Very interesting stuff, fellas. Another big game, Chelsea versus Wolves. Chelsea playing for a Champions League spot, Wolves for a Europa spot. And the fact that, so you've got Wolves and Tottenham, who if they win, they'll qualify for Europa. But whoever finishes in seventh out of those two teams might not qualify if Arsenal win the FA Cup. So there's still a lot to play for those two teams. They both really need a win to actually certify their spot. Odds at the moment, best odds are 1.91 for Chelsea, 3.9 draw, 4.55 for a Wolves victory. Georgie, what do you reckon, mate?
I think those odds, they do reflect kind of the statistics, really. So, I mean, I was doing obviously a bit of research before. I mean, you know, Chelsea have scored in 7 out of 8 games at home to sides, obviously in the top half this season. And interestingly as well, Chelsea are unbeaten in all 5 home Premier League games they've had against Wolves. Interesting fact as well is Wolves could become only the 4th EPL side ever to have no English goal scorers throughout the entire season, which is quite an interesting one. Obviously, except own goals, which obviously you can't count. The other one's obviously being, I think it was Arsenal, Stoke and Fulham. But yeah, with this one, I can only see, I see Chelsea coming out winners in this one. I think the, you know, Wolves have been fantastic, but given how Chelsea are kind of playing, obviously we saw midweek in their game against Liverpool, you know, they've still got goals in them, quite a lot of goals. Obviously Giroud being very hot in form. I think they'll come away with winners in this one against Wolves, but like you said, obviously, because if Chelsea beat Arsenal in the FA Cup, obviously that Europa spot's up for grabs. But I see Wolves leave themselves a bit exposed potentially at the back, just simply for the pace on that Chelsea side. I see Chelsea coming out, so like I said, it reflects in the odds. I think Chelsea will win this one. In terms of cards, again, it's very, very unpredictable with this one. That sometimes, you know, these teams are very, they're not consistent in either not picking up any cards, or, you know, they'll have one game they might pick up one or none, next game they pick up 4 or 5. It's very unpredictable. So for this one, I think with Wolves, I'd be tempted to play an under again, if I'm perfectly honest with these two, or Wolves to get 2 or more cards, because when Wolves are playing away from home against sides, obviously, you know, in the top half or top six, it's over 50% of their games that they pick them up in, so it'd be a more statistical play on that one. And obviously I think they'll be facing wave after wave of Chelsea attacks, so the players in the middle, such as, you know, if Dendonka starts or Neves there, or Moutinho even, they can often get niggly fouls, and I think they'll be committing a lot of them against Chelsea, just given the way that I expect the game to go. So I think if that was my play, it'd be probably on Wolves cards, and even a Chelsea win.
Okay, very interesting stuff there, mate. It's another game here, Haru, where both teams are most likely going to put out their best lineup, so less volatility, as you said. Happy to make a play here early?
Possibly, yeah. If I had to pick between this and the Man United game, I'd definitely lean more towards this one. Seeing a lot more activity here. The game has been probably released at Pinnacle maybe about 20 hours ago. And we're seeing some movement already favoring Chelsea a bit. And open at like 1.92. But we've seen areas in the line history that show us that it could peak at 1.8. It's come back down a little bit, but when you're seeing the offsets in the line history, you're seeing that there's a little bit more of a push on Chelsea than there is towards Wolverhampton. So I feel like that money can offset the any support that Wolverhampton would get. But like I said, it's always going to that last bit of information that comes in right before match can always alter the true probabilities of a match. But on early support, seeing it go towards Chelsea, so I kind of agree with what George was saying on his read on the Chelsea side.
Yeah, it's a very interesting battle, isn't it? Because you've got Chelsea who have been, I mean, they're a very good attacking side, as you can see, as probably seen some of the highlights from Pulisic in the last game against Liverpool. They scored 3 goals against Liverpool. Wolves are a very good defensive side. So it will be interesting to see kind of how that battle plays out. Fellas, we'll move on. Palace versus Spurs. Spurs playing for Europa spot, as I said earlier. Palace on a 6-game losing streak. And I don't think that's really been reflected in the odds here personally. You've got 6.75 for Palace win, 4.45 a draw, and 1.6 for a Spurs victory. These are the best odds I could find on each of those outcomes. I think, I mean, just the way I looked at it, I thought Spurs would be a lot shorter when I went to look at the lines. George, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, when Spurs have been playing away from home this season, they've always failed to beat, you know, the set handicap, especially to lower sides. You know, they've been horrendous. But I think kind of factoring as well, you know, Palace haven't beaten any top half London side at home all season. You know, they've just not been very good. It's as simple as that. But you know, I can see with that. I think Spurs obviously naturally would be favourites, but even so, when Spurs have gone away to lower half London sides, they've won one and drawn one. So, but then Palace have lost their last 9 games against Spurs. So that kind of obviously factors into it as well. I think the interesting one for me here is definitely on cards and potentially goals as well. Obviously, just naturally for me, I think I'd quite like Spurs to score, but Spurs to pick up at least 2 cards, because you know they've picked up two or more cards in 4 out of 4 games away to London sides this season, every single game. So I think that would potentially be a play for me. They're the worst disciplined side in the Premier League now, Tottenham.
Oh, wow.
So I do fancy them to pick up a couple of cards in this one, because, you know, Palace are the second most fouled team in the league as well. And obviously with Spurs gunning for a win, I can see that kind of coming into play, because I can imagine Palace will hit Spurs on the counter. They'll let Spurs have a lot of the ball, simply because even so for them, going head-to-head with Spurs, it's just asking for kind of trouble really to get hit on the counter. And Harry Kane appears to be coming back into some form. Obviously, he was excellent in his last game against Leicester. So yeah, for me, I think the play would be either looking at the stats. Yeah, I'd probably say Spurs score and Spurs over 1 card, so to get 20 plus booking points for them as well, seeing what the price is with that. But no, I expect to see some goals in this one as well.
Haru, I mean, the way I look at it is you're definitely going to get the best Spurs outfit placed on the team sheet. And at 1.6, with that in mind, do you think there's any value there?
It's hard to say, because the past couple weeks, especially with the way I've seen the Spurs play and the way the market has reacted to that in the past couple weeks and months, it's just they haven't really had any strong support for a team that's supposed to be in the top tier category. Just every week I've been watching them get they've been getting bet against, honestly, and it's hard for me based on the line history that I'm seeing now. It looks similar as to what it's looked like in previous weeks. You just don't really have consistency on their direction. Like, they open 1.95, they go like maybe 1 or 2 cents, and then they drop right back down. It's very volatile, and I'm just not really seeing any support. So in terms of like getting on the early value, I'm not sure if we'll see it, because even if they play their best roster out there, it's just the upside and the value of the line. I don't know if I'll see it there.
It's really interesting, because, I mean, just from my naked eye when I first saw this, you look at it from the perspective of Palace have got nothing to play for and they're on a 6-game losing streak, and it's not like they've been losing closely. I mean, most of their losses have been quite big. And then you've got Spurs, who off the top of my head are coming off a couple of wins. And they've got all to play for when it comes to this. So it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that does play a factor. But when it comes to me, like using my analysis on a way a market's going to move, the line history tells me a lot. And especially if I can compare it to another set of line histories from similar teams or the same exact teams that have moved in similar ways in the previous games, it's kind of easy to gauge that unless, you know, a big piece of information is factored in later on, then it obviously affects the outcome. But generally, when we see certain line history patterns, it replicates itself over the following games as well.
Yeah, no, great insight, mate. All right, we'll move on to the relegation battle now. So you've got three games where you've got Norwich. They've been relegated for a couple of weeks now, or at least confirmed to be relegated. And then the battle between Aston Villa, Watford and Bournemouth. Two of those teams are going down this season. You've got Villa on 34 points, Watford 34 points, Bournemouth 31 points. So it looks like they're a lot more likely to go down than the other two teams. But if you look at their goals differential, Aston Villa on minus 26 and Watford and Bournemouth both on minus 27. So you could have a case if Aston Villa and Watford both lose, Bournemouth beat Everton, that they will be the team that goes up on goal difference. So it's a very, very interesting scenario that could play out on the final day. We'll kick it off with Arsenal versus Watford. Prices here are 2.01 for Arsenal to win, a draw at 4.01 and Watford to win at 3.94. They are the best odds I could find. George, what do you reckon in this game, mate?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously just part of it in terms of the relegate, I think that's sometimes the most exciting part of it as opposed to what's going on at the top end. The relegation battle is often much more fun. But for here, I can't believe the price of Arsenal. Like, those odds are ridiculous considering the stats. I fancy them to beat Watford, to put a couple past them. I expect the distance to be quite a bit. Watford have lost three and drawn one away to all London sides this season. In fact, it's an aggregate of 8-2. So they don't fare well when they've got to travel to other teams in the capital. And Arsenal have won 5 out of 6 versus Watford at home, and they've kept a clean sheet in all of those. So given the kind of state of Watford at the moment, you know, sacking Nigel Pearson with, 2 games to go, which is just an outrageous move. Like, I won't get my head around that one. I can't see anything but an Arsenal win here. So that price really does surprise me. And I think I might be having a bit of a go on that. As well as that, you know, Arsenal have scored in 9 out of 9 home games against sides in the bottom half, whilst Watford have conceded 9 out of 9 away to the top half. So it just kind of, everything just screams Arsenal goals, really. And I don't see Watford getting anything out of the game. So I think for me, particularly with that price, the value would be Arsenal outright. So maybe see what the handicap is. If it's a -1, potentially get on that as well. Because, you know, I just see them outscoring Watford by a fair few goals. I think Watford will ship a few against Arsenal.
If I had to guess, maybe the odds compilers are looking at the fact that Arsenal just had a terrible performance against Villa. Maybe they haven't factored in that the team that Arsenal played was like a mix between their A and B team, I would say. So the likes of Bellerin will come back in. They'll bring in their full back three with Tierney back in there. They might play Saka on the left wing, maybe. The front three was all over the place against Villa. You basically had three strikers playing in a front three. So there was no creativity there. Xhaka coming back in to start will be massive too. So you can factor these things in. But Arsenal this is just a game where you would think they would be thinking, let's just put in a good performance so we're ready to go for the FA Cup on the next weekend. But Watford do have all to play for. Markets, Haru?
Yeah, in line with what George said, there is, out of all the games we've recapped so far, there's good support on the total here. They're hitting the overs a little bit, and I could debate the way it's moving is kind of unidirectional. So We're not seeing much resistance. The market hasn't been open for very long. And we're already seeing a one directional push towards the over. So I'm liking what I'm seeing here. I think the sharps or the market in general likes some goals being scored in this one. So if I were to bet on anything early here, probably be to get a position on the over in this game.
Haru, when you talk about getting on or following the sharp money, how can you distinguish between what's sharp money and what's, I mean, most of the time if you are betting with, you know, Pinnacle or on the sharp markets, you've probably got half an idea about what you're doing, but is there a way to distinguish between sharp and, I don't know what the best way to put it, dumb money is?
Yeah, well, you kind of, when you see, when you pull up a line history, one thing that I really value a lot when I'm analyzing it is the resistance. Usually when we see, you know, one side getting hit and then coming back down, that generally doesn't really show us any type of money coming in on one direction. There's usually conflicting opinions there. So that can be a lot of square money being offset by sharp money. But when you see the direction of the market go in one direction, especially early, it's usually people who are, you know, sharp trying to position bets early to capture some value or take advantage of some inefficiencies. So pulling up the line history lets us see that. If we see something that's being offset against each other in terms of like the money coming in and the odds coming up and down, usually there is real no inefficiency there. But if we see it go one way, that generally is a good sign that, hey, there's an inefficiency here and the market's trying to correct it.
Hmm. No, that's great insight, mate. Anything else you wanted to say about this one, George, or are you just heavily on the Arsenal bandwagon, which is great to see, by the way?
No, I'm still heavily on the Arsenal bandwagon. Just the other stat I was looking at as well was, you know, Arsenal haven't lost final Premier League game, you know, of the season at home since 92-93 season. So essentially, as long as I've been alive, I've never known Arsenal to lose at home on the final day. So
it's a sure thing, mate. It's an absolute sure thing.
Yeah, there's also a little bit of support there on Arsenal on the money side as well. So it's not just the total. And it's just, unless we see Arsenal come out and just like dump the game and come out with, you know, not really playing in this one, then I mean, I guess we could see some Watford support. But I mean, as of right now, like,
yeah,
I'm not too sure there. So that stuff that gets exposed to me closer to the start of the match as opposed to early. But things that I'm seeing early are the overs getting hit and also a little bit of money on Arsenal side.
All right. Should be an interesting battle. I'll be watching very keenly, fellas, see if the Arsenal are looking good heading into that big FA Cup game next weekend with all to play. What we'll do, fellas, we'll take a quick break now, but we will be back in a moment with West Ham Villa, Everton Bournemouth previews, and then also our best bets of the weekend. We'll be back soon. Welcome back, everyone. We'll move on to West Ham versus Aston Villa now. Villa looking to avoid relegation. Also, anything, nothing too interesting here in terms of the odds. It's all very straightforward. 3.2 for West Ham, 3.82 for the draw, and 2.38 for Villa. They're the best odds available as of Friday morning. George, mate, what do you reckon?
Well, purely just looking at odds, I quite like just for a value bet on West Ham. I mean, funny enough, I've got one of my best friends is a Villa fan, and it's been hilarious all season just talking to him about that. But I don't think anyone's going to have a great escape in terms of picking up a result. I think it's going to come down to goal difference, and I think it's who can lose by the least, and I think that's who will stay up. So that's why I think I've got Villa for favourites to beat the drop. But I don't see them winning. I don't see them winning away at West Ham, particularly as, you know, West Ham have scored in all of their home games against fellow sides in the bottom half, whilst Villa have conceded in all their away games against sides in the bottom half as well. You know, and Villa just need to better Watford's result, really. I think I'm right in saying that. So, but the fact they've only won two away games all season, and the last one was back in January against Burnley. you know, they've not won away to West Ham since 2011. As well as that, the Hammers are unbeaten in their last four home games against Villa. You know, that's with two wins and two draws. Plus, Villa have failed to score in 5 out of 7 Premier League meetings with West Ham. So, you know, 3 of those finished 0-0. So I don't see there being many goals in this one. But I think if I was to say who would score, I think it'll be West Ham. I think Mikel Antonio is in form. I think I saw somewhere, it's great, the fact that the best rated striker in the league from who scored, it was from a West Ham fan. He said, is our original right back. Because obviously he used to play Antonio right back. And he's been out and out, probably the best rated striker in the Premier League recently.
Yeah, I think he scored the most goals, or he's tied with the most goals with Sterling since the restart.
Yeah, I think those, I can't remember who it was against now, when he scored those 4 goals in one game. I think that might help slightly, padded the stats a bit. But but yeah, no, I don't see Villa losing here. I just think they need to don't lose by too many. So they just got to hope that Arsenal can do them a favour. And put a few past Watford for them, but yeah, I think the value here just from those odds, I'm very surprised to see Villa as, you know, such big favourites in terms of the difference of the price. But yeah, the value is probably with West Ham given the statistics. But the other market I quite like when it opens will be to see the free kick markets. Villa, most fouled side in the league, regularly pick up 17 free kicks a game, which is quite a high number. So it'll be interesting to see what the line is for that. But yeah, in terms of cards, obviously teams pick up a lot of fouls against Villa. It's quite difficult because, you know, West Ham, you know, they've only picked up 2 or more cards in 3 out of 8 home games against teams in the bottom half. So it's quite difficult. There's a lot of variance to be had in that as well. So I think from a cards perspective, I'd be tempted to leave this one. But no, in terms of value, West Ham double chance, it'd be interesting to see kind of what that price is if I had to kind of look at that, because I think it'll be a low scoring game again, but I think if there is a goal, it'll be going in West Ham's way. So with that price, a double chance could also offer good value.
Yep, and I mean, that's similar to you. I looked at that price for Aston Villa and I thought I wouldn't touch it. That was the only real big conclusion I came out of. But it's hard to touch West Ham also because they don't have too much to play for. But Haru, 3.2 for West Ham, best odds I could find. Is there any money for West Ham at the moment?
Yeah, there is a little bit, actually. The even the double chances has seen some support. It opened at, I'll just say American, it opened at minus 140. And now it's out to minus 150. So, I mean, not massive amount of money there, but I feel like there has been a little bit of an inefficiency captured by, you know, some West Ham backers. There is just not anything for Villa, like in terms of like the initial bets that have been matched in the marketplace. I'm not seeing anything on Villa at all. And I guess that supports a lot of George's reasonings. If anything's been a play here, it's probably West Ham early on a double chance. It looks like that's the best thing that's gotten hit so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what Georgie said, mate. Jeez, maybe it's George's best moving the market here.
Possible. That's what it looks like this week.
Things have changed since I first met you, mate. You've upped your staking a bit, eh?
What can I say? Making moves.
COVID's treated someone well, eh?
Well, it certainly did last weekend with in Switzerland. I felt it was weird. I've never felt kind of bad for profiting off of circumstance since Donald Trump won the election. Or one of the exchanges on that, but also COVID absolutely ravaging Zurich. And I think I put one out for Young Boys to score 4+ and 5+ goals. I think, you know, that was 4-1 for the 5+ and 7-4 for the 4+, and they won 5-0. And it was obviously it was a great bet. So I kind of profited off poor circumstances, really. But at least something good came out of it.
Yeah, I was not cheering on that fifth goal for was it what team was it? Young Boys.
Young Boys against FC Zurich away.
Yeah, I think I had 70 euros or something on over under 4.5 goals. So that fifth goal was a real kick in the. Kicking and where you don't want to be kicked, basically.
Top scorer Nsame ruined you.
That's all right. I've still bet the closing line, but no, well, that's good. It's betting, eh?
Certainly is.
Everton, Bournemouth. Bournemouth also looking to avoid relegation. They look, as I said before, the most likely to be relegated as they are 3 points behind both Watford and Aston Villa. 2.29 for Everton here, 4.1 the draw, and 3.2 for a Bournemouth victory. George, stats-wise, cards-wise, anything here, mate?
It's difficult for me. I mean, I like Bournemouth to pick up a couple of cards just because they always do. They've been quite consistent since the return in terms of picking up bookings. Biggest miss for them, I think, is the fact, obviously, Nathan Ake, obviously rumoured to be going to City. Man City. He's been a big miss for them at the back. He's a bit of a presence for them in terms of the way he plays football. And he's also a threat in the opponent's box from their set pieces. And obviously they can be missing him massively. It was weird because when Bournemouth went obviously to beat Leicester by such a substantial margin, you kind of thought, all right, they're going to kick on now. But it might have looked like a slight flash in the pan performance, you could say. Again, this is one I think I believe in. I think my main interest is in the other two. But if I was to go on anything, it would probably be Bournemouth cards, because I think Everton are going to want to finish on a high regardless of the fact they've got nothing else to play for. They're not going to want to lose on their last game of the season. So Bournemouth away, I'd never fancy Bournemouth away, if I'm honest. So I'd just go on Bournemouth cards. If I had to make a bet, I'd be looking at what the line is, but potentially it's 20 plus booking points for them, and maybe a sort of an under in a certain amount of goals. If I was to do kind of a double, potentially 20 plus booking points and say under 1.5 Bournemouth goals, something like that.
Yeah, you feel like the Bournemouth price is maybe just based on the fact that they actually have something to play for.
Yeah.
And I mean, Everton have been quite indifferent in terms of form lately. Yeah, Haru, anything in the markets you're seeing, mate?
Nah, honestly, nothing sharp here. No inefficiencies being captured. It's just bunch of back and forth, just small action, just nothing significant. I don't see anything here. I wouldn't play anything early, unless you're really good and you have a read on something. But like these things, when teams are about to get relegated, I mean, same principles apply to some of the sports that I'm more familiar with, such as NBA and like teams fighting for playoff spots and things like that. And it already kind of gets factored into the line because the sports books, you know, their first reaction is to try to get to the right number and have balanced action throughout. And so they're just going to price it based on that. So we're not seeing any action here, and I wouldn't play anything.
All right. Let's sum things up, fellas. George, from all the stuff you've said today, is there anything that you'd say is probably your best bet of the weekend or something that you've really liked?
Yeah, definitely for me. I've had a look at something and it's going to make you very happy. Just purely for a price as well, and I think it will happen, which obviously helps if you're going to put a bet on. I'd go with, I think Arsenal on a minus 1.5 handicap is a very nice price. It's the best spot price I found here is 5-2, which works out decimal at 3.5. And so you've got my odds converter here. And American, I think that's plus 250. So I think that would be my best bet purely because it's a great price. And looking at the stats, it heavily favours that. So yeah, Arsenal minus 1.5 handicap would be my bet for the weekend.
Haru, mate, have you had any plays yet?
If I'm gonna be playing anything after I get off this call, it's probably gonna be the over on the Watford Arsenal based on like the line patterns, and I'm more confident that that will keep going in that direction as opposed to anything else that we've reviewed today. Just have experience reading lines, and I feel like the type of movement that's coming there is just one directional. So I really like the over on that game. I'll probably play that.
All right. So to sum it up, we won a 4-0 Arsenal victory. Happy days. We'll all go home. All three of us will go home very, very happy. And then in terms of from our side of things from TradeMate Sports, Marius's CBS picks of the week will be out for CBS in a matter of hours or days. His pick is actually minus 2.75 on City to beat Norwich, and that's at 1.85. I think that would have been yesterday on Pinnacle. So that's Marius's prediction for the week. Myself, I'll stay away from the EPL. Stick with the NRL and the rugby league. I'll go Rabbitohs to beat the Raiders at 275. I think that's a very healthy price. Rabbitohs very vulnerable in the forward pack normally, but the Raiders, normally their strong point, but they have been ravaged through injury. John Bateman might be back though. That could be something to look out for and the reason why the price might be a bit higher on the Rabbitohs. But I reckon there's a bit of value there. But that sums us up, fellas. Anything you'd like to plug today, as always, you can find C. George Gamble on Twitter, Card Spreadsheets. Look out for his spreadsheets for the upcoming weekend on just about every European league or major European league. And you can find his pieces that he writes for We Love Betting, his match previews there. Anything else you want to plug, George?
No, I think you've just done me a favour and done it for me, pal. So I think that was everything I wanted to plug. But yeah, go and check them out. Spend a lot of time on them. But yeah, the previews as well goes a bit more in depth into why obviously I've made those kind of picks as well. So, but yeah, you can find me there.
Good stuff. And at BetLikeHaru on Twitter for our pro sports bettor, Haru Masayan. Anything else, mate?
No, let's just get through that quiz. I want to see if I can crack it this time.
All right, you can go first, mate. Top four for the previous two seasons in order.
Okay, I'm going to start from the bottom up because this has been stuck on my head since we started the podcast. I know I could plug Tottenham in the fourth seat for last year.
Who'd you say, sorry?
The Spurs.
Yep, correct.
Man City also not finished first, but second and third, I'm just going to have to take a wild guess. Second, Chelsea, maybe Liverpool. I'll just go Chelsea, Liverpool.
Yeah, right. You got the top four teams right, but not in order. Do you want to give us the right order, George?
So the right order, Man City obviously won the title in an enthralling title race with Liverpool, who finished second, just a point behind. Don't ever forget that. And then you had Chelsea. Then it was Tottenham.
Yeah. And then, George, do you want to have a guess at the 17-18 season?
So this is the hard obviously one. Obviously, City won it again. So, you know, the first of their double back-to-back. And then I believe it was Manchester United who finished second at the time.
The demise.
Yeah, the demise indeed. And then third was a tricky one for me because I think Liverpool finished fourth that season. But I'm pretty sure it was Chelsea or Spurs, but well, no, because then Spurs played Liverpool in the following season. It was the Champions League final, wasn't it? So it would have to be, it had to be Spurs. So it'd be City, United, Spurs, Liverpool.
You agree with that, Haru?
I mean, his opinion's better than mine, so I'll just agree it's a better route to go. So
I better be right now.
I'm right too.
Yeah, no, you're right, George. You're on fire, mate. You're on fire as always. The quiz master himself. Even when I take out the multiple choice options, you still get it wrong.
If Alex ever does a quiz, it's C.
Yeah, exactly. All right, fellas, well done again. Terrific stuff from you both. So jump on Twitter and follow both of them. But other than that, thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. And as always, start a free trial of TradeMate Sports. Implement some of the strategies we talked about today, especially the value betting ones, and start your value betting journey. Fellas, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.